Muriel, I saw you graduate. Matter of fact, I yelled for you. Seems everybody else was yelling. Even when they asked them to be quiet. Did you notice that? Shows you it's getting more and more rebellious around here. Praise God. Sure love you, young people. Hallelujah. But you know, Sue, thank you. What a testimony. That was a blessing, you know. But you guys have been a blessing to us because of your faithfulness. Praise God. You know, you see a lot of young people departing more and more from the desire of the parents. It's sad when you see parents go to one church and kids go into another and things like that. And so when you see a family settle in one church, that's a blessing. Not that the division is, you know, is bad also, but it's good to see parents with their children constantly, you know, in the things of the Lord. It helps stabilize them more than anything else. And somebody say, Pastor? Okay. But today, you know, this morning, I was looking at television, seeing some of the ministries on there and everything. And it reflected a thought back to me about the parents and the children. And I don't know whether you realize or not, but God has given society a blessing in churches, in different churches. Amen. So whether the parents and the children go to the same church, but God has provided an avenue to where the parents and the children both can be so blessed because of the kingdom of God moving in the earth. Amen. So that is a blessing. It is a blessing. And I think in the future, you're going to see a greater response to the children. I am looking forward to the generation that's coming up because I am seeing a fire in them. Are you following me? I'm seeing a fire in the generation. My wife, she was talking about the Generation Church, and she was wondering where it was at, and I told her I didn't know nothing about it, but when she said it was all made up of young people, I thought, boy, there's something about that I'm not flowing with. It shouldn't be made up of just young people. It's got to be made up of you know, all people, you know, old, middle-aged, and young as well, you know. So I thought that was really strange, but then I saw the advertisement on television, and I found out why that church is all just young people. It's the University of Washington. They have a ministry there. The young people have a ministry there for the graduates. So that's why it's all young people. And I got to thinking, well, wow, that's cool. You know, how many times we've ever heard of a college having a church of its own where the young people get into the things of God and move with God. I thought that was cool. And Sue was telling me they're pretty on fire. Praise God. And that's awesome. Amen. You know, the Bible does say there's mansions in heaven, but and God has gone to prepare a place for you. Well, in the Greek, it's a dwelling place. It means a place to dwell. Well, I see that working in the earth. You know, God provides a dwelling place for those that love God. You know what I mean? And so all of us have a dwelling place, you know. And I think that just, I said, I'll say that's so cool. You know, God is really an expanding God, isn't He? And man, even though we're limited to one source and the parents are limited to one source and the kids are limited to another source, it doesn't stop God from working in either of their lives. Amen. Amen. You got to look at it positive, dude. Amen. So I said all that to say God is so good. He is so big. Hallelujah. You just can't put Him in a box. You just can't do it. He is a big God. And we serve a big God. Hallelujah. This morning we're going to get back into the redemption that has been given us. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now get into the Word of God this morning, it is our life. It is how we live and move and have our being. It's how we breathe the next breath that we breathe. It's how the promises of your word prolong not only our life, but our children's. And how the word of God is so life-changing and transforming. What an honor and a blessing, Lord, to serve you. Not only through ministry, but Father, through our lives. May our lives speak and be an example of the gospel that we love and adhere to. Father, that we all get to that place in life where the gospel has so set us free that nothing can offend us, but we could be secure in what you have brought us to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feels so good this morning. I feel like I'm in the Spirit. In spite of all the lights. Praise God. Redemption. Redemption. Redemption, again, is threefold. We have been redeemed from poverty. We've been redeemed from sickness. And we've been redeemed from eternal death. Now, most people seem to think that we've been redeemed from death. Well, we haven't been redeemed from physical death because our redemption in that area is future. Right. See, but we have been redeemed from spiritual death. Now, how important is the redemption from spiritual death? Well, if there's been no provision for the redemption of our spirits, there would no one enter into the presence of heaven. When he said that he had cleansed the heavenly utensils of worship by himself, taking the life that was in the natural blood of Jesus, by redeeming man through that natural life, physical blood, it said he could enter into heaven itself now and cleanse the heavenly utensils of worship. And he wasn't referring to something up there in heaven needing to be cleansed with his blood. That's preached a lot, but that's stupid. What he was saying is that because Jesus walked and fulfilled the law so perfectly that he stood in place of our transgression and brought all the benefits because of that transgression, brought all the benefits for us to have life, not only spiritually, but naturally, more abundantly, entered into heaven itself. And when he was seated at the right hand of the Father, in the mind of God, the redemption that brought Jesus clean to the very side of the Father, in that redemption, he said, all of mankind now has the privilege of joining the Redeemer to sit next to me in heaven. And it's for all mankind to be redeemed. Not just for those that are Christians, but those that are non-Christian alike. God has healed himself towards mankind in spite of mankind. Isn't that good news? God no longer holds anything against humanity because he poured out all his wrath justifiable on his Son. Praise God. So that whosoever will can come into the presence of God. Now, church people, religious people have gotten that messed up. They think that you have to work your way into the presence of God, but that would nullify what Jesus has already done for you. That's why Jesus fought with religious people. Somebody once said to me, he says, Pastor, you always knock the religious person, but they love God just as much. And I said, well, just don't lump me in that. Lump Jesus as well. If you ever listen to the Bible on tapes, I was shocked when I went to listen to the book of John. It seemed like every other chapter or every chapter, Jesus was in an argument with a religious man. And Jesus was not hypocritical about it. He just blatantly said what he said. He had something on his heart. He told them about it. That's why the religious man hates Jesus. And it's following true today. You see the spirit of Antichrist working in the church. Praise God, because a religious mind is an enmity against God. It nullifies everything that God has given us. Praise God. But there's two words, in order to understand redemption, there's two words that we have to understand. The first word is the word reconcile. It's a shame that we use these words so much but not really get the full impact of what it means. Then the word reconcile, and the other one is redemption. You must understand reconciliation first of all. To reconcile means to set up. And this is what people don't understand about reconciliation. It means to set up a relationship of peace not existing before. It means to set up a relationship of peace not existing before. You see, a lot of people don't understand that word, to reconcile, what it literally means. Job said, who is able to put one hand on God and one hand on man and bring the two together? Actually, in the Hebrew there, it's talking about who is qualifiable to umpire both parties. Are you following me? Because it seemed like one side was on the one side and the other side was on the other side with no ability to connect whatsoever. And so God, having the plan of salvation, brought the greatest umpire into existence, and his name was Jesus. And Jesus could put one hand on man, and Jesus could put one hand on God, and bring the two impossibilities completely together. Hallelujah. That's why I love redemption so much. That's why, as a believer, I always get cornered with unbelievers. They want me to bring them to judgment. And so when they ask me the question of what would send a person to hell, I always try to leave it very uncondemning, in the sense that I have no right to judge them that are without. And yet Christians are quick to judge sinners. But you know, God isn't through with the sinner out there. In case we forgot about that. But I always try to speak in such a way that I don't bring them to judgment, and it bugs them. It just drives them crazy. Because the sinners today that I'm associated with, especially in America, most of them are aware of condemnation preaching that you find in churches. You know, they say that sin will send you to hell. It is not sin that sends a person to hell. You know what it is? It's the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not coming to the place of reconciliation, you know, to reconcile a situation, because sin is a nature. Are you following me? And that's why at the great white throne judgment, you and I are going to rejoice at the fact that God did everything He could to see to it that He was in the perfect position to bring judgment on mankind, because He provided a way for them to come out of it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I heard a testimony of a minister. I don't mean to knock him. But he made the statement. I question his heavenly account. But he said that Jesus hated the fact of the great white throne judgment. And then he made the statement that Jesus wept and said, I hate that day that's coming. And I could disagree with him fully, because the Bible is very clear that Jesus can't wait to judge those who have rejected the provision that He's made in His judgment over His Son. I'm going to tell you the time periods that Jesus or the Father hated. It was the Old Testament time period, because He had to judge mankind. He had to judge flesh according to the nature of flesh, and God hated that. He couldn't wait for the day that His Son was manifest so that He could remove the judgment that was on mankind through His Son. Glory. He couldn't wait for that. Amen. And it was consummated. It was consummated. And so when they asked me, well, what kind of answer is that? And I'd turn to them and I'd say, well, sin is a nature. It is a nature. You sin because it's your nature to sin. And the Bible is very clear that I have no right to judge you or bring you to judgment in the things that you do. But I'll tell you what, the Bible is very clear that judgment begins at the house of God. And I want to let you know that you accept that, but I reject that, because I have a greater responsibility of not letting sin have dominion over my life. And this one brother said, well, he wasn't a brother. This one person I worked with said, now I understand that. Isn't that amazing? You know what? I have an easier time dealing with unbelievers about the Word of God than I do with a lot of believers. It seems like they fight you more on revelation than an unbeliever. And I turned to him and said, what have I have to do to judge you for what you're doing? That is not my place. God judges the sinner. Are you following me? And he says, well, I do understand what you mean now by nature. So are you saying that I don't have the nature of God in me? Well, that puts you right against the wall, doesn't it? You want to say, yes! But I just say like Jesus said. The Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus made this statement. He says, I come for judgment. And here's the judgment that he comes for. Those that say they see, that they might be made blind. And those that say, I am blind, he says, I make them see. Right. How many following what I'm saying? Yeah. That's John chapter, the end of chapter 8, beginning of chapter 9. That's what Jesus said. For judgment I have come into the world. That those who... And the Pharisees, you know what they said right after Jesus said? He says, so are you telling us? Are you speaking to us that we're blind and yet we say we see? And Jesus turned to him, I like him. You're dealing with the mind of the universe, man. He says, truly, if you did see, your sins would not be. That's what you call let them judge for themselves. Think not that I've come into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be reconciled through Jesus. What a statement. You know, I used to ask that when I was first attending church, because every time I'd get under a message, God hates sinners, God's going to kill them, and if you're a sinner in the body of Christ and you're saying you're a Christian and you're sinning, you're not a Christian. And you sit there and of course me, you know, I'd walk the week out in my flesh and come to church for some kind of spiritual enlightenment, and I found out that, boy, that preacher was right on today. Yep, I did all those things he said I did. Yeah, oh man, I got to get into a repentance situation here. I got to feel sorry. Got me to feel sorry for my transgression, so I'd run to the altar. Oh, God! And I'd weep, and I'd cry, and I'd pour my heart out until I felt, whoa. Whoa, whoa. Cleansed. I'm cleansed. You know what I was doing? I was performing a release on the presence of God for my life. I wasn't thinking change. I was thinking, I've got Him to forgive me every time I go to Him. You all been there, haven't you been there? I ain't the only one in this pot around here. And so I'd get up and, oh, I feel good. I'll feel great. Me and God are tight now. We're real tight. Sure enough, one day later, not five, one day later, I missed the mark. I sinned. And because now God and I are tight, I let Him down. You know how your conscience gets to working? I go, oh, God. And then I wouldn't go to God. Why? Because I know He's ticked off. Yeah. Sorry to say that, right? Anyway, yeah, you got to use this young language, you know. You can't use King James when you preach, you know. If thou doest the thingest that thou callest. James used words you don't use today. He that comes in with the gay clothing. You can't use them kind of words. You have to use words that we understand today. You know. But anyway, I'd get down on my knees, man. I'd get this thing going, you know. And it's like I'd just one eye. I'd look up at God, you know. Are you still there to forgive? And I get this warm, fuzzy feeling coming all over me again. The pastor did a bang-up job. He just nailed me at every turn of the road. But I found out I wasn't growing and changing by getting nailed at every turn of the road. What I needed was to be redeemed. Pardon me, people, but I got a hair that's... You ever do that? Comb your hair and then you get one hair floating around and you're trying to pick it away? That's when you get bald on top and you just comb, you know? And if your hair was to ever let down, you'd be the baldest long-haired guy in the group. That one long hair that you curl around, it's on the floor and you step on it and you almost break your neck, you know? Can you see it floating around there? Oh, can you see? Ooh. Okay. Back to business here. To know the difference between to reconcile and to redeem, to reconcile is an understanding of how God, what God did to provide a solid relationship between the giver and the recipient. Amen. And to understand this, you find that more in Romans chapter 5. So let's turn to Romans chapter 5. And to understand what it means to be reconciled. Romans chapter 5. There it is again. Oh. It's stuck in my beard. It's driving me crazy. Oh, is that where it's not here? No. Where was I having you turn? Romans 5. Foil by a hair. Kenny can cut it out. Okay. Cut it out, Kenny. Romans 5. Many people don't understand the chapter 5 of Romans because it's so powerful. The church as a whole hasn't got to the full revelation of it. But look at verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man, notice this, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death passed upon all men, inasmuch as all have sinned," the results of sin. That's what he's saying. All mankind end up sinning by the results of this death. And sin came into being. Notice it said sin came into being through that death. And see, that's what people don't understand. If I transgress my father, if I miss the mark with him, it's because I have a nature that is prone to do that. Because he says in that verse that he did not say, well, look at the verse. This is real powerful when you look at, "Wherefore, as by one man," notice he said, "sin entered into the world." And the world, and death through sin, and so death passed upon all men, inasmuch as all have sinned. Now notice what he's saying here, "Wherefore, as by one man," underline one man. One man. And notice this one man's sin entered into the world. So we see that sin has entered into the world. And the world and death through sin. So we see that sin brings in death. Now I want you to catch this. And so sin passed upon all men. What passed upon all men? Death passed upon all men. For in as much as all have sinned. Now, isn't it amazing? It says sin brings death. But then it says because sin brought the death, then the death, not the sin, the death passed upon all men. Are you following me? And it says, by one man's disobedience. You know what disobedience is? It's very, very, very interesting. This word literally means to disobey when you have been enlightened. You know, there's a lot of Christians who have been enlightened but refuse to obey. You know, you are not rebellious to God in ignorance. You are not rebellion to God in ignorance. But once you've been enlightened, then rebellion is accounted to you. See, and people don't understand it. So notice it says, sin entered into the world. Sin entered into the world. Well, when sin entered into the world, then spiritual death, because it's a Greek word, thanatos. There are two words for death. Well, there's several words for death. But the main two that I want you to plug into, one is nekros, which literally means physical death. And then there's thanatos. And many times the majority of scriptures, if you're not careful, is the word thanatos, which is referring to spiritual death. And spiritual death is separation from God. It literally means God can no longer commune with you by your spirit. Genesis 6, turn over there. Hold your place here. We're going to come right back. Genesis 6. This is an important thing to understand. In Genesis chapter 6, people misinterpret this verse horribly. I even had a minister teach on how it proves that longevity, a man's longevity was shortened and everything, and it's not what it's referring to. And go to verse 5. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now notice, I want you to go up to verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now I want you to notice, this verse has been preached to us as talking about the shortness of man's life. And that's not what this verse is referring to. This verse is referring to the time period that it will take Noah to build the ark. They said 118 to 120 years. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness during that time period. Why? Because sin was entered in by Adam. And when he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, literally means that if things keep going the way they're going, God is not going to have anyone left to converse with through the spirit. He lost Adam and Eve in spiritual connectedness. And people don't understand that, because you have to know God through a man's spirit. It's the spirit of man that knoweth things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said that. He said, it is in your spirit you know all things. You know something? You can even know things in your spirit and still transgress God. Somebody says, well, I made the righteousness of God in Christ, and therefore no matter what position I get into, hallelujah, I'm His. Well, that's true, as long as you can sin and then remain with Him, which is to me is promiscuous grace. Because sin will stop revelation in your life. It'll cause you to go off into a different direction with God. And so what he was saying here, God was saying here, my spirit does not always have the ability to strive with man. The word strive literally means to communicate with, to convince, to place an argument, to literally, in our language today, to convict someone of error. He says, my spirit's not going to be able to do it. And so what God had to do, he had to rescue more people, because it only got down to one that was really legitimate to go into salvation. And then God allowed his family to go right in, which tells us something. Your family has a good destiny if you stick in faith with them. Don't give your family up to the devil. Confess different. Praise God. Stick in there, man. Hang in there and say, no, devil, you can't have my kids. I don't care what it looks like. They're going to go to heaven with me. I'm going to have my whole family up there with me. Glory to God. You lying devil. I know how you operate. We're going to talk on the devil tonight. And about family situations. It's interesting. But anyway. Adam, through his disobedience, brought sin in. And that ordered up spiritual death. That's where God disconnected with Adam and Eve. And turned around and planned redemption. You know, the church doesn't have a revelation yet that redemption was planned from the fall of Lucifer, not Adam and Eve. Bob and I discussed that before, haven't we, Bob, about this from or before? Well, the before is before Adam and Eve, and the from is the fall of Lucifer. So redemption was planned from the fall of Lucifer. That's why we can get into the Greek word foundation. The redemption of mankind was created from the foundation of the world, and it's not the Greek word themelo. Themelo means brand new foundation that was laid. It is the word katabol, means cast down or overthrown world. And so God said, okay, we're gonna start all over in this thing now that we got rid of the position of Satan. I saw Satan cast out of heaven as a bolt of lightning. That's when God dealt with his trying to overthrow heaven itself. Can you imagine being that crazy? And cast the earth. When the devil approached Adam and Eve, he was a fallen being. Well, it's because he was judged from that first world. In that first world, we don't know what it was about. And we don't really need to know that junk, do we? We don't need to know it, but I tell you what we do need is the beginning of something called disobedience. And notice it says, for as by one man's disobedience, Romans chapter 5, it says that because he allowed sin to enter into the world, then death through that sin, and so then death passed upon all men, inasmuch as all have sinned. And why did he say inasmuch as all have sinned? Because when you have spiritual death working in your heart and life, you cannot get rid of sin. To get rid of sin, it comes through a nature not to do it. Now the problem is I still had that death nature working in my mind, but I got born again in my spirit. I was reconciled unto God, hallelujah. Not any works of myself, but what He provided for me, because I was too stupid to know what it was about. Amen. A whole week. Well, sorry Lord if I quote this wrong, but maybe it was 2 weeks. I wondered if I was saved. You want to know why? When I ran forward and knelt down. I ain't going to run up the steps this time. I gave my heart to the Lord. I said, Jesus, come into my heart and life. I had no idea what I did in the man in the moon. I called him Lord, but he was not my Lord for quite a few years of my life. Until one day I learned about the leading of the Spirit. Different thing. But anyway, I got up, and for 2 weeks, I kept fighting this thought life of mine, and wondering if I was saved. Why? Because I didn't feel saved. I didn't see saved. I didn't smell it. I couldn't taste it, unless I wanted to eat my Bible. You know, all I had was, I'm saved from hell. That's all I had. But I didn't know that something happened on the inside of me. I knew something happened on the inside of me. I felt more of the new birth than I did the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I tell people this, they look at me like, oh, brother. But I'll never forget that right shortly after I was saved, the very next day I went to work and I was lettering a sign on a board that we had, a table that was, I was letting it aside. All of a sudden, I felt the presence of God come into the room, and I it was this awesome presence. And I wasn't praying. I was still wondering if I was saved. And all of a sudden, it was just like I had a door in the back of my head. It was like this hand reached up and opened up the back of my head. This actually happened, people. Some of you are going, And it was like I heard this. I actually heard it with my natural eye. I heard it. And I'm sitting there and wondering what's going on with my body. And then it was like the door closed. And then it was gone. And I went, wow. Didn't you experience that, Sue? Didn't you experience that? So I went home and told Sue, and Sue said, I had the same thing happen to me. And I told him, now, we're going to be cool when we go home? Isn't that weird? But it happened. Come on, Paula, I'll tell your experience. She had the same experience I had. We were lifting up, praising God, and all of a sudden, it was just like the power of God, electricity went down through my hands and my arms. You had the same thing happen, right? So I got two witnesses joined me. And that power went... I started screaming out in tongues. And of course, someone gave their heart to the Lord that was there. Praise God. But anyway, I had this experience. And so I knew I was born again after that. I had that experience. I knew something happened to me. I looked at the world differently. My wife even said, driving in the car one day, she says, you know, things look different. Well, you know, you don't have the book of the new birth. You have the book of Acts. That's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so we're well acquainted and well aware of the Holy Spirit, you know, because of the day of Pentecost. We had a physical manifestation. Yet the church has talked against that for years. But 4,000, or 2,000, matter of fact. But we never had any experience in the new birth. So when we had these kind of experiences, I knew something happened. So the enemy was less able to talk me out of my true experience. But I didn't have it at the time. But how many of you have heard people go forward and confess Jesus and everything and get up, go back, sit down, and you never see any fruit out of their life? Yep. Mm-hmm. And so then you question, did they really give their heart to... Well, it's because you have a nature in you to prompt to do good, but Christians have never been taught how you can violate the conscience of God and cauterize it and not perform. Are you following me? And we're going to talk about that tonight, how Satan operates on our conscience, our God conscience. You know, we need to know these things. But you can sit in church and hear the undisputed Word of God and still turn around and go commit adultery, fornicate. You can do all that stuff. But God's purpose of to reconcile mankind is to put them into a position in a relationship that they can overcome the world with now. And that's what that word to reconcile means. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, we're talking about what we've been redeemed from. And in order to understand redemption, you have to understand reconciliation. The word, let's focus just for a minute on the word redeemed. The word redeemed means to buy out of or to release on receipt of ransom. To buy out or to release on receipt of ransom. It means to release somebody by paying a price of delivering. Is this going over you guys' head? You know, so many people say, oh, I went to buy, I was wearing, but everything went over my head. I want to make sure it's not going over your head. I want to make sure it's hitting your brain. Now notice this. He says to release by paying a price of deliverance. It means the bondage of self-will will reject the will of God. That's what Zahiti said. The bondage of self-will rejects the will of God. And that is why the soul has to be clearly identified that it is a daily process of getting release from the self-will of your thinking in life. And that is not an easy task. Somebody said, but what authority do you say that? Me! It's not easy to change the way you think. Are you guys in agreement with that? That's why the Word of God is the only tool that's good. You're going to work on your brain. It has got to be the Word of God delivering your natural mind, your natural life. See, until you understand that, you'll always be under bondage. You will not understand reconciliation, and you darn sure it's not going to enjoy your redemptive rights. When you see a brother or a sister go home early, your heart just melts. It weeps within you because they've been redeemed by the process of the death that they took and they shouldn't have. But the sad part about it is, I don't care how many hands you get laid on you, I don't care how many sermons you preach, it still comes up to the individual how they hear and how they apply. So, where did I have you go? Ephesians chapter 2. This is something to understand about reconciliation. To reconcile. This is so powerful. Look at Ephesians 2:16. Let's go up to verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law, even scratch it out, the law of commandments in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, and so making peace. Notice this. And so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And what would be the enmity thereby? Can anybody tell me? What would be the enmity thereby? The nature of sin! He gave you a new spirit. That is the life and nature of God in you. And that is the conscience of God saying, don't do that no more. Glory to God. I got the Lord all over me. I must be preaching something right here. You all sitting there. Oh, but what you're saying means that sin won't have no dominion over me. Absolutely right. Well, how did it get a hold of me? You got a growth problem. That's all. You ain't got a salvation problem. You ain't got a redemption problem. You got a growth problem. Why? Your soul is not set free from what doesn't belong to you. I understand now. Why the Word of God, when I was praying to God and crying out why we don't grow as a church, and God said, because flesh can't dwell with spirit. You have less options when you get into the Word of God, for narrow is the way. Amen. Broad is the way to destruction. Anybody can go through that, but narrow is the way. Amen. To redemptive rights. Right. Glory to God. And I'm going to tell you, the scripture that has been given me belongs to you. The Lord prophesied that this morning. You tell my people that he which had begun a good work in them will perform that until the day of his return. You just got to believe that. Amen. God is going to return for a church that has taken it to heart that God in you will cause you to succeed. You can't do it on your own. Amen. You got to let God be God in you. I like what Casey Treat said one time. For me to fail, God in me would have to fail. I believe that, don't you? If I'm going to fail in life, it's because God in me has failed. Now I'll never give in to that area. I ain't going to get caught up in the cancer in the body of Christ, complacency and indifference. I'll not get into that cancer because it can get a hold of you and you can't even get a cure for it. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Boy, there ain't a day that goes by I'm not consumed by the meditation of the Word of God. There's not a day that goes by I'm not consumed by it. I constantly got it on my mind. I'm constantly seeing a new reaction to the Word of God. I'm constantly seeing new approaches. I'm constantly seeing a conviction within myself to change things, you know. And I get so frustrated when I can't make them quick enough. Every time lately I've been around my son, he says, you know what God told me? Glory to God. You know what God has been saying? You know what God is doing? I like that. I like that about you, Tim. God has been telling. God has. And things ain't working out in the natural like they should, but at least you're connected with God. God's saying something. God will never side with your demise. Some Christians seem to think that God sits down next to him and says, "What's happening, brother? Oh, you have no idea what I'm into." Oh, really? I'm sorry to hear that. Thanks a lot, Lord. That makes me feel good to know that somebody can understand my side of things. No, I didn't say I understood your side of things. I'm saying I'm understanding why you are where you're at. Wouldn't it be horrible if God said, "Yeah, I know. That's what's designed for you to go through, so don't worry about it. Keep it up, brother." Man, you grow. You grow by the trials that are rotten in life. That's what we're taught. How many of you enjoy rotten trials in life? I hate them. But you know something? That is not how you grow. If that was the case, we'd all be spiritual giants today, would we not? Amen. I mean, every time you get into something good about life, "Woo, woo, I can do this." Then the obstacles come around of the responsibility to make that thing happen. Oh, can't we ever run into something that's easy? Well, it is not. The trials of life is not what makes you grow. It's how you apply the Word of God to your life in unfavorable circumstances that make you grow. You know what the greatest thing for the body of Christ that needs it today? It needs me to shut up so you guys can go home this morning. Right, Tristan? Here it is. Here it is. The thing that we need in the body of Christ today is a few victories. How many of you feel so good when you get a victory? Ooh, Hulk. You know, when you were weak, you could say you're strong. I was watching the Hulk last night with that the guy that turns into the Hulk guy, you know. And you know what? You know what makes him turn into the Hulk? He gets mad. And right away I thought, dang, I didn't know that was in me. No wonder Paul said, "When I'm weak, I can say I'm strong." Why? When the devil shoves you far enough and hard enough and puts you against the wall, that says the violent will take it by force. We need to get a revelation on the inside of us as God. And He's greater than the Hulkster. You get shoved up against the wall in your weak state, that's where you can turn around and say, "In my weak state, I can say I am strong." Anybody want to fight? If you're under 5 foot, come on up. Can you imagine how big God was in David's thinking? He picks up 5 stones to take an idiot Christian to come up. Well, why did he pick 5 stones? Didn't he think he wanted to be an F? Well, you got to read your Bible. It says he not only wanted Goliath, he wanted the army too. He only picked up 5 to start with. Can you imagine how big God was in David's heart? Amen. That's why God could do so much for such a stupid nut as David. Why? Because David loved God. David was perfect. He never made any mistakes. But he loved God. Wrong. He said, "Okay, Goliath, I'm going to say the same thing you're saying about us. But I'm going to come after you in the name of the Lord." Now today we have a better relationship. We've been reconciled unto God. We're not servants as David. It says John the Baptist was the greatest by ushering in the awareness of Jesus in planet Earth. But he said the least in the kingdom is greater than him. He was talking about You being born into this time period means that you're a son, not a servant. As great as David was called, he was just anointed prophet, a servant in the household of God. We are sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And that he made, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The spiritual death that operates in men, God reconciled by cleansing the heavenly utensils of worship. Jesus paid the price for your spiritual death, so you have spiritual life, which is the beginning to overcoming sin in your life. Glory to God. Glory. Now tell me that went over your head, and I'll lead you to Christ. You need saved. Hallelujah. We're going to stop there. Stand up, everybody. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. 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 But you need to know your redemptive rights today, I'll tell you. I mean, our economy has skyrocketed. If you hadn't noticed. Not put fear on you. Wait till it gets to the loaf of bread, it'll be a man's full day's wage. Rapture! Rapture! I'm gone! You start doing a full day's wage for a loaf of bread, it makes you want to enjoy your bread now. Can you believe it? I have a little Hyundai. And it seemed like a year ago, I put $9 in it, it was burping. Nowadays, that takes $30 and I'm still a quart, or I'm still a gallon short. I forgot who I was talking to just recently. They told me their gas bill was astronomical, and mine was about $400 a month, and I looked at them and I said, good Lord, thank you Jesus. Nowadays, hey, why don't you come on over, have some coffee? I will if you pay the bill. You want me to drive across town? I'll collect my gas when I get there. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. Hallelujah. I had fun today, Lord. If I preach the wrong thing, deal with me later. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just see such a big God in our life. You know, when things get bad, you know, the Bible has an antidote for that. It says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. What a comforting words. Lord, before the first, I'd sure like a rapture. Why? In bill time. Glory to God. Father, this morning, with every person just focused on ending this message today, Father, I ask that if there be anybody here that has never given their life to Jesus, has never said, I want to be saved. I want to say the sinner's prayer. I want my Lord to be the Lord of my life. I want to be born again of the Spirit. And by having that new nature, the enmity of not serving you will be removed, and the desire to serve you will come in. And so if you're here today and never had been born again and would like to, then I want you to feel free to come up here and let us pray with you. Anybody? Just feel free to do that. If you're here and you're not even sure and you'd like that confirmed, then you need us to pray for you. And if you're here and you've never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, glory to God. Hallelujah. will lay hands on you, says the Lord will fill you with His Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 And you know something? I'm not going to make an altar call for those that feel they're out of fellowship with the Lord. Because this morning, I really sense in my spirit, more than ever, that many of you have been discouraged. And the Lord wanted me to tell you, don't you be discouraged in your commitment to me, saith the Lord. You be encouraged, because the future is very bright for those that have been faithful to my house, that have been faithful to my word, that have been faithful to my prayer closet. And I want to tell you, saith the Lord, you do not look, don't let your horizon be above your present surrounding, but look to the future. Look to a quick and new and wonderful work I'm going to do through you, saith the Lord. I am going to do great and wonderful things for me. It seems like you've been in a state of complacency. It seems like you've been neutralized. But know this, my people, that there is going to be a great work that is ahead for you, and no man will be able to stop the work that I have for you. You will go forth as kings and priests, a royal priesthood unto me, and you will succeed. Today, if anything, you need to rejoice, because I, your living God and Father, I am in your heart, and great things will be done through you as I move to you. Hallelujah. And there's going to be many people receive wonderful things from the hands that you lay on them, and the lives you contact by allowing me to move through you and touch their life. You rejoice. You don't look at things. Then you're naked and blind and wretched, but you look beyond the natural. You look beyond where you're naturally at right now, and look to the future and say to yourself, the future is bright for me. I am going to serve the living God in a greater capacity, in a greater way. And I am going to encourage myself in the Lord that will take place. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Had to get that out. Anybody? Anybody would like to come up? Salvation. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Anybody? We got altar ministers here just waiting to get their hands on you so God can flow through them. Hallelujah. Anybody? Going once? Twice? Hallelujah. Come on up here, honey. Glory to God. Anybody else feels like joining my little sister here this morning? Come here, honey. Glory. Anybody else? Glory.
I fell down the stairs and the angels kept me alive. They didn't
cripple
me.
Yes. Okay. Good, honey. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes. Let's pray for you. Has you got pain there?
Pain all over.
All over? Okay, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to pray for you, and the pain's going to go. Do you believe that?
I believe the angel saved you. I think it's paralyzed your dead.
Yes. Well, Jesus can go a step further. He carried our pain. Are you ready to get free from it? You going to tell us?
Tell you what?
If the pain's still there?
Okay.
Okay. You ready to pray? Think God can do it?
Amen.
You know what you need? You need the pain to go. God's willing to show you how good He is. Father, right now I lay hands on... What's your name?
Kathy.
Father, right now I lay hands on Kathy. We want all the pain to leave her body. We want her body to heal up rapidly. In Jesus' name, and there it goes. Woo! Wow. What's the wow about? All the pain's gone. Wow.
Hallelujah.
You know what that is, honey? That's gone. Father, we also want a quick recovery in her arm and fingers right now. In Jesus' name, we want a total healing. We thank you the pain's gone. And when the pain's gone, it means the body is being healed. In Jesus' name, glory to God. No pain. Thank Jesus. oh, is this the one that was diagnosed? Uh-huh. How's she doing? Doing pretty good. She's got that little sickness in her. We need to boot it out, huh? You guys ready to pray over this little baby? One will send 1,000 to flight, but 2 will 10,000. How many of us here? Oh, we got the kingdom of darkness upset right now.
Amen.
What's she been diagnosed with? Cancer on her kidneys. Ready to move cancer?
Amen.
You think it's the will of God?
Amen.
You know why this cancer's got to go? I'll tell you why. Because of the love God has for this little baby and mankind. He wants to get the glory of a God that loves humanity. And He's going to get it today in this little girl's... It's her liver, you said? Or
her kidney.
And that cancer's got to leave the kidney, and it's going to happen right now.
Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God.
It says, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have it. We're going to have it because she's going to come back with a testimony.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah.
How could you not believe?
Amen.
How could you not believe?
Amen.
Where's mommy?
She's not here.
Your baby's... Oh. You know how she's going to get healed? Purely the love of God. Why? Because the Lord Jesus ransomed us, paid the price for her healing. Father, I lay hands on this little baby, and I have a whole church of believers right here, and people that love the Lord, and that have a power in their praying. John Duclos, come on up here, my little friend. Come up here. Hallelujah. 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 You get your hands on this little baby's kidney. You get it right over there. There it is. Hallelujah. And Father, I consider it an honor to join my faith with John Duclos and the redemptive rights of the Lord Jesus Christ. And cancer, you die on her kidney. You die now in the name of Jesus. You leave this body, and so that her mother will have peace, will have rest, and her grandma will be excited. And Father, cancer, you leave the body. Now we consider it done in the name of Jesus. Done in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Woo! Glory! 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get a good report back.
I just want to stand in for someone's
disc.
Depression.
Oh. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Father, she's standing in proxy for a disc, depression, everything. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want her healed. What's her name?
Larry.
Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Oh, glory, 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 glory. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Felt good. Now go and lay hands on him. Hallelujah. Just hang tight, people. Hallelujah. Yes, you can. You ready? Hallelujah. What's your name?
Dixie.
Oh, Dixie. We're going to get rid of that.
Hallelujah.
Right now in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Get ready. Saints, believe with me right now. She's going to get rid of a work of infection in her body. Ready? You know what? You're going to see a change. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. Father, in the name of Jesus, you believe it?
Yeah.
I sense it, man. Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, when I lay hands on Dixie, she is going to be set free because of our redemptive rights. Woo! I don't know about you, but I sure feel good this morning.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We need more of the redeeming rights operating in our midst, don't you think so? What you need? Oh, they did. That's enough of that. You ready to receive? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Father, we want to send this thing back where it belongs. Hallelujah. When I lay hands on my best little spiritual friend, there's going to be no more fear. She's going to be freed. And I command that sister to leave in the name. In the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, you have no problem with restoring flesh. Glory. Be healed. Be healed. Glory. Let it go on down in there. There it goes. There it goes. Boom. Glory. 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 Now fear, you depart. You take a hike. And though you don't go telling her that something else is going to happen, that is a lie out of the pit of hell. You lying devil. You'll not set her faith in the wrong direction. Glory to God. Let her mind. Be free of that fear. Oh, there you go. You got it. You got it. You got it. Glory to God, you've got it. Glory to God. Glory to God. She got it. She got it. Yes, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, your neck and back. You got any pain now?
Yeah.
Okay, Father, right now I want her free from it. Her neck and back right now. Oh, there. Woo! All pain to leave. All pain. There it is. There it is. You're under it right now. Look, do you feel that? Do you feel all the pain? Go. You feel it go, Cordella? Gee, I didn't know you drank. Father, in the name of Jesus, she is totally healed up down through her back in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Let's move. Let's move, Cordella. Hallelujah. You feel better? Glory.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Little sweetheart. Glory. 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 Was that your lower back too? Was it your lower back too? Bring that chair over here. We'll just make double sure. Bring that chair. Sometimes we get the upper, we need the lower. Sit down there, Cordella. There we go. Hallelujah. Let's see your feet. Boy, you can't get more perfect than that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for healing her top, bottom, and in between and everything else. Amen. Your feet were just perfect. Feel a little strange there, but it's because it was adjusted. Glory. Yeah, oh, do I have room for one more prayer? Do we have room for her?
Amen.
You sure do, sweetheart.
My grandpa, his cancer was pretty bad, but it's almost gone now.
It's almost gone?
Yeah, but I really want it to be gone.
That's cool. She said it's almost gone, but she really wants it gone.
Amen.
Father, we thank you that the gone is there. And Father, we want it really gone as she stands in for her grandpa. And Father, she came and asked. And Father, you withhold no good thing to your children. Not bread that's from heaven. We want him totally healed up. Gone in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Say with me, little one. Say this with me. Thank you, Jesus, for healing my grandpa with my petition of gone.
Amen.
You're going to see it, sweetheart. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Ross, how do you feel?
I feel great.
You feel great. You can look great. Thank you, Ross. Glory. Glory. Glory.
Jennifer's in the back. She can't walk.
Jennifer's in the back. She can't. Jennifer, get up here. Oh, she can't walk? Where is she? Well, hello, kids. They're what?
We want prayer for them because they're very mischievous and getting in a lot of trouble.
Oh. You know what? You know how to do that with kids? Pray for the blessing. You know, her ears were healed. She was born deaf. Her ears are open. She just needs to learn the language, you know. So proud of you. See? She can hear. Okay. So we've got two beautiful little kids here that need God a little deeper in their little soul, huh? Look at those faces. They are cute. Okay. Well, here's how we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray. We're going to pray that God will give her the wisdom to work with them.
Yes.
Amen.
Yep.
Okay, Father.
Yes,
teach them. Look at these two little pumpkins. They're both smiling at me like there ain't a problem in the world. Father. Yeah. Father. But Mom knows better. Father, we're going to lay hands on Mom. And we're going to believe, this family unit will get the wisdom that is necessary to reside over the souls of these two little beautiful little children in Jesus' name. Wisdom, you come abundantly towards this family just for these two little precious ones in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at these two little guys. Look at them. Get out of the way. Aren't they cute? Oh, glory to God. Okay, Father, we thank you for that wisdom. Yes. Yes. Where's Jennifer at? Where is she? Jennifer, I come back there. You're going to walk. Oh, Jennifer. I thought it was somebody else. Hallelujah. You really out, honey? Okay, lift your hands up. Let's see. Oh, it's your lower. Come here. Let me see how it. Oh, my. Release in the name of Jesus. Woo, man. All the way in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Father, totally and completely. We want all the pain and everything to leave in Jesus'. Ooh, there's the Lord all over you. Hallelujah. 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 Amen and amen. Is that better?
Better.
Oh, amen. All right, just walk around.
Okay.
Say, thank you for my healing. I have a right to it. Follow me. Choo-choo train. Follow me. Choo-choo train. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my healing. Okay. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You couldn't even what?
I couldn't even.
That's history.
I know.
Let it run. Hallelujah. You know, we had to open up a chiropractic office and have just a chair there in prayer. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we need to make an announcement. Okay, make an announcement.
I have a quick announcement before we release you. That is, we had one of our policemen, and he does this for a living on a daily basis. So I had him observe the cars just in this row of cars on both sides, this one aisle out here. and he found four cars that the purses were setting out in the wide open. One of them, a window was open so they could just reach in and take it. Some of them had money exposed. There was two cell phones laying out in the open. And it takes 6 seconds for somebody to break a window and be gone with your whatever. And so we're asking, please, hide this stuff before you come in here. We have people watching the parking lot, but they can't be everywhere all the time. It's your responsibility for what's in your car. So we're asking you, please, take care of it and put it in the trunk or hide it somehow or cover it up. Do something so that it's... Please take care of your stuff.
Well, we do need this understanding that you're interpreting this wrong. The reason they left it out is so that their cars could get broke into. You got the interpretation wrong.
I do want you guys to know that myself and my crew have spent the entire morning out in the parking lot this morning. I have over 3 pages of cars that we walked up and down and found. You can't hide your cell phone under the hat in your car. Okay? You can't hide your purses under hats and things in the car. It takes exactly 10 seconds to bust a window and snatch it. We have presents out in the car in the back seats and things, and I need you guys to help us, okay? And I know it's inconvenient sometimes to come into church to take a moment to put your stuff in the trunk or whatever, but, you know, as we come out and try to watch, a burglar will sit out in the parking lot like he's bringing his wife in or somebody off and like they're sitting here waiting. And the minute we check the lot and come back in, they make their move. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I need your help to help us so that we can have a safe congregation so that people will want to come. But if people continue to hear about break-ins and things in the cars, they're not going to come. So that responsibility rests just as much with you as it does with us. Amen?
Amen. All right, praise Thank you, Mike. That is cool. That's doing your job, man. That makes me feel good. Yes. Yes. Your shoulder. You're a little late on the anointing. I can't help you today. Jesus checked out. You're still redeemed. Is there a pain there?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you lift it up? Okay. But you feel a lot of pain.
It's pain that comes and goes. And it's
comes and
goes?
It's caught. Oh, watch this. This is so cool. Watch this. Watch it. I love it when Jesus is going to heal.
Yes,
hallelujah. Because there's a healing anointing here this morning.
Yes,
Father,
amen.
In the name of Jesus, when I lay hands on her shoulder, she is going to be able to lift 150 pounds over her head with one shoulder. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want this shoulder healed. I want all pain to leave it right now. In the name of, there it is. There it is.
Amen.
There it is. Woo-hoo! You feel that? Not there.
I just went right there.
Good looking woman like that, I'd heal her too. You guys ready? You ready to go outside these four walls and just destroy the enemy? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we set these people free, Father, they are free indeed in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.